Right now, I'm very pleased to welcome from the land of my birth, that would be California, Edward Ring joins us, co-founder, contributing editor, and senior fellow at the California Policy Center. So goes California, and so goes the nation a lot of times. He wrote a really excellent piece recently called The Lords of Scarcity, which explains an awful lot. And why is it that people in power positions would want things to be scarce instead of plentiful? Ed Ring, welcome to The Shilling Show. It's great to have you with us today. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
All right. I want to go to America and California, kind of the land of plenty. This is how we were portrayed. I lived in California. It was the golden state for a reason, the California dream and all that. But we've kind of changed. At least I know California has, and America's heading in the same direction. Why is that?
Well, you alluded to it when you talked about the Lords of Scarcity, because the idea of scarcity seems like something that, you know, it's kind of ironic. Why would we want basic necessities to be in short supply? But if you look at it from the perspective of people who are investing, for example, in real estate, why would they want the price or the value of their investment to go down? Mm. And that really is the essence of this. When you have an increasing consolidation of ownership, the people who are the owners don't want to see abundance. They want to see scarcity, because that's going to make the value of their investment go up. Now, there are counter arguments to that, but this is a powerful incentive, and I think it underlies a lot of the policies that we're seeing today, which are otherwise inexplicable.
So, Ed, let's talk about water. Water has been a huge issue in California for a long time, and yet those in charge, the Lords of Scarcity, are making the situation worse instead of better, and everyone else, the regular people, are suffering. What's going on there?
Well, you know, again, this goes right back to the idea that people who control water rights, people who are financializing the water business now, which is to say they're creating financial derivatives that are and futures contracts, for example, that are tied to the price of water, don't want to see the price of water go down. They don't want to see water abundance because, for example, when a sovereign wealth fund or hedge fund buys 100,000 acres in the San Joaquin Valley in California, more for the water rights associated with that land than the land itself, they're not going to be interested in supporting policies that would create more water. They don't want to see the price of water go down. They want to see the price of water go up, because that'll make their property worth more. You know, you also have corporate agribusiness. In California, you would probably have a very hard time doing business anymore if you own less than 10,000 acres. Mm. The regulations are so onerous that you have to have a home office that actually spends all of its time complying with the many regulatory permits and reports that are required. And I've had farmers tell me that nowadays you have to have 100,000 acres to really be able to spread that compliance overhead over the amount you're going to earn from your farm produce. So what's happening is that, plus the unavailability of water, is empowering the big landowners, the big corporate farmers that have strong balance sheets and economies of scale, to roll up the remaining holdings that are still in the hands of farm families and smaller operators that simply can't survive. So you not only have the investors that just want the land and the water rights, but you also have agribusiness, big agribusiness. In both cases, they have an incentive to see the environment for the small farmers get more challenging, so that they can buy them up and consolidate the industry.
You have the same thing going on with energy. Of course, as I understand it, they're shutting down the nuclear plants. I grew up near, not so far from San Onofre, and I think that one's either shut down or going down. But what's going to be making up the energy production in California, or are we going to have scarcity in that as well?
Well, we already have scarcity there. And you know, that's a, first of all, what California did, and this is also something that they want to roll out to the rest of the country, it's so-called decoupling, where the amount that you charge your clients or your rate base as a utility isn't connected to the amount that you're delivering. It's called decoupling. So they've done that because the Public Utility Commission in California, because they want to incentivize the utilities to invest in renewables and charge more for the renewables without delivering more electricity. So the utilities are only allowed to make a certain percentage profit, the publicly regulated utilities. So if you were going to, for example, sell, let's say, 20 million megawatt hours per year to your rate base, would you want to be selling that fixed amount of electricity for 20 cents a kilowatt hour or 4 cents a kilowatt hour? Because you're not getting a profit based on how much electricity you sell. You're getting a profit based on how much you can charge per unit. And if you're going to get 9%, for example, as your regulated utility's maximum profit that you're allowed to retain, why wouldn't you take 9% of, you know, 40 cents a kilowatt hour or 20 cents a kilowatt hour or whatever the highest number you can possibly get, instead of 9% of a profit that's, you know, based on a 4 cent per kilowatt hour price? And, you know, in most of the country, it's still less than a dime per kilowatt hour. It's sometimes half that or even less than that, where you have a lot of big legacy coal and nuclear power plants that are producing electricity for next to nothing by comparison. In California, the goal is to make everything powered by solar power and by wind power. And of course, they need battery backup for that. And they need to overbuild that, because there are months in the year when you have minimal sunlight and months in the year when you also have less wind. So you've got to just carpet the state with these things. And you've got to have hundreds of billions of dollars invested in battery backup systems in order to make something like this work. But again, this is a gold mine for the utilities, because they're going to invest in all of this, and they're going to charge 3 or 4 or 5 or 10 times as much for every unit of electricity they sell, and that means they get that regulated percentage profit on a much, much bigger base of revenue for the same amount of electricity.
We've got just a couple of minutes left. We're talking with Ed Ring, and he is with the California Policy Center. A caller called in off the air, wanted to know about water, and I know you know an awful lot about this. He wants to know if there's any desalination plants in place or planned for California.
California cities use on average 7 million acre feet of water a year. And there is one big plant on the California coast. It was built about, it went into operation about 5 years ago. It puts out 50,000 acre feet a year, which actually makes a pretty good dent in the water price supply equilibrium in San Diego County, down on the southern coast of the state. The California Coastal Commission just rejected, by a vote of 11-0, a similar size plant that would have gone to the next county up the coast, Orange County, which is between Los Angeles and San Diego. And that plant would have also produced 50,000 acre feet a year. The short answer to the question is they got one through. The contractor that wanted to build another one spent 20 years, spent over $100 million in design and permit application fees. This is no exaggeration. And after all of that work, they had it denied 11-0. And the appointees on the California Coastal Commission A lot of them were appointed by Governor Newsom, who supposedly is in favor of desalination, but again, they rejected that application 11 to nothing, and it's very unlikely we're going to see anybody try to build a big desalination plant on California's coast again, which is very discouraging.
It certainly is. I know people in the listening audience would be interested to follow your work online, Ed, so how can they reach you online?
Well, they can go to californiapolicycenter.org. That's where most of it is.
I hope people will take the opportunity to read about the Lords of Scarcity. There's a lot of lessons for the rest of the nation. Edward Ring, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us today on The Shilling Show. I hope we can talk again.
Anytime. Thank you. Yeah,
thanks very much. Okay, my goodness. I'm so glad I got out of California in 1998, but it's very sad to see these things happening there.